Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bikaji Foods International Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ambesh Tiwari. Thank you, and over to you, Ambesh.
Thank you. Thank you for having Bikaji Foods International.
Sorry to interrupt. Sorry to interrupt. Ambesh, your line is not coming out clear. Could you please arrange your handset?
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the Bikaji Foods International Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Rishabh Jain, CFO, and Mr. Manoj Verma, COO. I will now request Mr. Rishabh Jain to take us through the key opening remarks, after which we'll have the floor open for Q&A sessions. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all the investors. This quarter, we've grown at close to 2.5%. This quarter is a story of two halves, where in the first 45 days, there has been a supply and production issue for two reasons largely. One, of course, our chairman is no more with us, so there are three, four days of plant impact across Pan-India. Number two, there were Bengal elections, so there were a lot of movement of Bengali labor. Post 45 days, we've seen great demand across all product range, be it ethnic snacks, fashion snacks. From primary lines, we're growing at 2.5%, but what we see from secondary, so we've seen good secondary tertiary overall in the first 45 days also. June, July, we've seen good growth in demand and overall this festivity. We're entering into festivity this month, being Rahi and next Diwali. We are getting very good response from our organized retailers, seeing good growth and maintaining 15% plus growth overall this year. That's what our target is. Now, from bottom line lens, what we're seeing is that there are multiple pressures, be it edible oil due to this geopolitical issue, this rainfall, less rainfall, so it is also having some impact on few pulses, be it moong dal and chana dal, all are started increasing this year. But yeah, we've taken two price rise in the last four months, and we're trying to maintain and trying to pass on the price to the consumer. We've taken one MRP increase in April, but till now, we're not taking any MRP increase. And what we see that till Diwali, we'll maintain this price what we're doing because as we enter into festivity, a lot of gift box and everything has been started. So that's what number one. From EBITDA lens, this quarter, our EBITDA was close to 13.5% versus last quarter. Last quarter, EBITDA was close to 12.2%. So there was a good increase in EBITDA margin compared to last quarter. From capacity lens, largely our new ASRS, new ASRS investment has been gone live this month. So we have built close to 1 lakh sq ft of construction in Bikaner, where there's a lot of supply chain business will be there going forward, where we'll keep close to additional 1.2-1.3 lakh extra to ease on supply chain. This will help in overall maintaining this minimum stock level at our key stock point.
As one of our growth drivers, what we've identified is the reach increase in reach. So we continue to grow our direct coverage, and as we end this quarter, we are at 370,000 outlets plus as a direct reach, adding 17,000 outlets in quarter one. Talking about our marketing investment, in fact, if you look at, I mean, in this quarter, the gross margins are up, whereas EBITDA, it has slipped down. But that's primarily one of the key factors also is that we invested heavily in this quarter as well to build up momentum for the festive season coming ahead of us. So Pankaj Tripathi campaign, we aired in this quarter as well, which was for UP. Then from launches of our Vixen snack range, new products, what we did, participation in our international exhibitions, as always, what we do. Coming to the business, if we look at, so delivered an overall volume growth of 7.7% and a top line of value of 12.5% growth. Within this, the ethnic snacks have grown at 11.4%, Western snacks at 21.3%, sweets at 4.4%. Papad was a bit challenging, you know, for the quarter, for the reasons that a little bit of early monsoons, because June also we saw that stuff. And what happens is that being handmade papad, if there are, you know, the monsoon impacts our production per se as well. Talking about business from the geographies, look at core states have grown close to 11%, focus states grown close to 19%, and the other states at 5.6%. Export is the only channel where we, for the first time, where we have seen that almost flattish or a negative growth of 2.2%, which primarily is on account of the U.S. tariff disturbances, you know, which is happening. And more importantly, is the crude oil prices going up, which has taken up the freight 2 to 3x kind of a stuff. So which is what has deferred certain shipments. That's where it is. Otherwise, we look at in terms of demand, export stays as much strong for us. The mix between family and impulse pack, if we look at, family pack has grown at 11% while impulse at 10.5%. The retail business performance, if we talk about, so this has grown at 71.8% YoY, and our stores have increased from 15 to 28 over 1 year.
So from top line growth perspective, so over last quarter, our EBITDA has grown close to 13% and top line has grown close to 2%. So EBITDA has been improved compared to last quarter. So that's all from the presentation. Thank you for, and we can be happy to answer all of
this. Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My first question is on the retail business. So if you could tell us next 1 year, what will be the plan in terms of the retail expansion? And for the different formats, if you could give us some numbers in Q1 on the growth and the margin, and any learnings you have where some tweaking of the business model is needed in any of the formats.
So from retail lens, largely we are mainly focusing on THS as of now, and from THS lens, they will open close to 10 stores this year, and largely what we see that this business can grow at 50-60% year on year for next 3-4 years. That's the plan we have as of now, and from 28 stores to plus 35 stores this year, and 50 stores in next 2.5-3 years. That's the plan in THS. And from Bikaji stores perspective, we are opening 2 stores this year, already in plan, already work is started. And post this, we'll evaluate on our business largely. But this business can, from profitable lens also, this KHS is also, so we are also working on, basically from KHS lens, of course they are retail, but they are mainly focusing on fresh, pretty very premium sweets and gifting. That's a big business for them. And that's where, First store we're targeting 7 crore of business from THF. That's the overall plan.
Yeah. In terms of Q1, I think you are the only FMCG company which has highlighted, I think, on the Bengal election impact on the manpower. So any long-term risk mitigation you can do, because frankly, this is a solvable problem and no other company has highlighted. So if you can tell us why only you have faced this issue.
So largely in Bikaner, so you'll see your snacks is manufacturing across all plants in India. So snacks has grown at plus 20% this quarter. So we not have an issue, but in Bikaner, largely there are major Bengali labor which are there in Bikaner. And mainly Bhujia, we manufacture only in Bikaner, both Bhujia. So that's how we have got impacted. But overall, what we are targeting that we'll also see, and we learn from this, and we are targeting this year that we will manufacture Bhujia in two plants this year. We'll try to manage the same quality there. So that's what mainly the main issue was.
Sure. Last question on any of the growth states, except those three states where you have a strong presence. If you could highlight where there has been slightly weaker performance than expectations, and which are the faster growing states, because yes, those states are growing faster than your three core states. But still, I think the gap isn't too much, and in fact, one or two quarters, those three states have in fact grown faster also. So if you could tell us the faster growing states and what are the learnings in the weaker states.
So, hi, Abneesh, this is Manoj. So if you look at focus states, have almost grown 2x to what core states have grown, so that's where it is. Within focus states, if you look at the states like UP, where we have made investment as well, has really paid us dividend back, and the fantastic growth where we have got from there. And across all focus states, growth is strong, not that any of the state has underperformed for that reason. Core states, for the fact what Rishab already spoke in quarter one, within quarter one also, if you look at the first half of quarter one, in April, where we lost our chairman, and as a mark of respect, 3-4 days, there was a shock. So we could not make supplies, and ours is a very, very, simply skewed supply, which essentially means is that it's not any weak, high, heavy stuff. So on a day-to-day basis, we do almost equal supplies throughout the month. So any loss, no impact, that was one on account of shipment. And also, the Bengali labor, most of it is that stuff, and in April until mid-May, because of this Bengal elections and SIR, all those stuff, so we had no choice than to let them go, and they went, and that disrupted our supply, and which impacted more of Rajasthan and these states, the core one stuff. Focus were still managed because we have our depots across, we had ships out there, and they continue to get those stuff. So those were it. Learnings in terms of it as again, like one is that we realize that if any catastrophe, any such unforeseen thing comes up, and Bikaji gets isolated or disconnected, Bikaner, so would impact our overall business. Hence, we are decentralizing it. So already started working on that. This Bikaneri Bhujia, not only in Bikaner, we produce outside Bikaner as well. So those were few learnings which we'll build in our plans and strategy going forward.
So one, that helpful. One quick last follow-up on the demand side and competition. So if you could tell us on quick commerce, is there very high competition? Because I am seeing that quick commerce is now launching their own private label. For example, Swiggy has got the brand Noi, and they have offerings across snacks and many other adjacencies. If you could generally comment on quick commerce performance, is it meeting expectation? Of course, everyone is growing very strongly, so that is not the right metric. The right metric is it going as per the plans, and is your market share in quick commerce higher than your Pan India market share?
Yeah. So, Abneesh, I think the right metric to look at how are we doing it is in terms of at what rate this category is growing on that platform, and within that, are we over-indexed or under-indexed? That would talk about gaining share or losing share on the platform. So first, let me talk about play of this category on the Qcom platform. So yes, it is exponentially growing, and so are we. Our growth, if you look at in quarter one, is upwards of 100% in the Qcom channel. Second thing, what you spoke about on the private label or their own brand, This, any of the format, be it modern trade or QCOM, where you feel that the consumer or shopper footfalls are high, they tend to launch their own brands, and so is what Swiggy and others would have started doing that stuff. But it really does not work as much at the end of the day, because the difference between a brand and their own private label brand is not as much, and hence consumer or the shopper stays back with the brand still. So that's what it is. Well, it's too early to make a statement at this point in time, but we are going faster or in line with what these channels are going for this category in this term.
Thank you. That's all for my thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nitin from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My first question pertains to like what led to surge in other operating costs. Like you have highlighted, there were brand investment, but just wanted to have a more sense on like what are the component to for the surge in the other operating expenses. Plus also like if you can highlight how the spending going to be for the rest of the year.
So from other operation expense perspective, so there are multiple things. There is due to this geopolitical issue, the coal prices also increased in last 4-5 months. So close to 0.3-0.4%, 30-40% manufacturing cost has been increased. So from air cost perspective, in last quarter we've not done similarly significant ads. This quarter we've done some sales promotion activity, some ads. So that this has given close to 40-50 base points. That's 2 points where overall below gross margin, our margin is impacted.
And how should we like build this like advertisement spend going ahead for the rest of the year?
So overall, our year target is close to 2%. That target will maintain this year, and from overall planning perspective.
Okay, thank you. And my second question pertains to like I have seen some of the product launches we are doing, expanding the exclusive range, plus getting into non-palm oil offerings. So just wanted to know what, how material is the segment and what are thoughts and what are plan aspirations.
So I think this is being future ready and looking at the demand, what is coming up from the Gen Z or the new generation in that stuff. While the mass or the bottom of the pyramid will always be very, very heavy, this would be icing on the cake, and we are ready in terms of to do that stuff. We have piloted it in on the QCOM channel because that's where they are sold more, the D segment. And but this would not be a substantial business share of business for us going forward.
Sure, thank you. And my last question pertains to your package fees. Like how we think like the growth gonna be for this year. So like Q2 plus Q3 is the main season. So, like for last 2 years, there is a 7% revenue CAGR, and prior to that, we were growing at 15-20% for the combined 2 quarters. And so, like from that lens, like given the capacity, how should we build a growth for this year amid the festive season?
So I think what we are looking at is, see, festive, when we speak on the two components to festive products, one is sweets, the other is our gift pack. So what we look at it is that now the sweets should grow at about 12-13% kind of a growth over last year, this quarter to quarter three put together. And the gifting would be even higher in this stuff. So some total gifting would be pretty good in this stuff, and say upwards of about 17-18% growth.
Okay, so this is really helpful. And going ahead, like our aspiration would be growing in mid-teen, or like you want to sort of accelerate to high-teen types of growth for the full year?
So we'll definitely look at for high-teens, but mid-teens as we speak, we see clarity on that stuff. That's say close to about 16%± should be the growth what we should be delivering quarter on quarter.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot and all the very best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Anand Shah from Axis Capital. Please go ahead. We have lost the line for the last participant. We will be moving on the second one. The next question is from the line of Percy Pataki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to know this production sort of outage that we had for 4-5 days. Did that really impact our sales? Because this happened in April. You had 2 months to recover the production. It's not as if we are running at 100% capacity. So why should it impact our top line growth?
No, so if you look at now the progression of our billing, it is not like that everything is skewed towards last. So it's not just about production in the month of April, more about dispatches. That dispatches were shut for 3 to 4 days.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a pipeline, right? There is a distributor. Yeah, sir. So what I was saying is, sir, there is a distributor, wholesaler, retailer in the overall trade pipeline. We would have maybe, don't know how much, but at least a 15-day sort of stock. If you are stopping dispatch for 5 days, that trade pipeline falls to 10 days. Later on, when your production is online, would you not want to restore that pipeline back to 15 days?
So exactly that's what we said, that if we look at the, so there is a story of two halves, first 45 days and second 45 days. What we are presenting here is the console for 30 days. So first 45 days was even high, we made up and rest of the, so June was the ever highest kind of a delivery what we did. And July continues with that momentum. This is what exactly we are saying.
Understood, sir. What I just wanted to understand is, for the quarter as a whole, April, May, June quarter, has the production loss of 5 days impacted your sales for the quarter? That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, so largely, one thing, of course, this is loss because there was also labor issue going on during that time. So it was not the case that we, in a normal scenario, of course, we'll double our turnover days, run day-night shift, but that was not the case in 18th of May. We were able to run the plant with minimal production. So there were two activities going on parallelly.
Okay, understood. Secondly, just wanted to first congratulate you on the ramp-up of your subsidiaries. They are doing really well. But question on the standalone business. If I look at this quarter, okay, let's ignore this quarter because there was labor issue, production shortage, etc. But even if I look at last year, full year, the standalone business, which is the core bread and butter, snacks, sweets, papads, etc., that has grown only at around 11%. What is it that is preventing growth higher? Because earlier when we used to speak 3-4 years earlier, the understanding was that the overall industry itself is growing at low double digit, and then there is a share of organized gain from unorganized, and then within organized also there are some fringe players and we will gain from that also. So the growth expectation was like 15-17%, but it is coming closer to like 11% odd. So just wanted to understand what is it that has changed versus that expectation in terms of the delivery.
Yeah. So one is that if you look at, so literally 2 years back, the category was growing a double-digit growth. Whereas if you look at the last 2 years, it's been a single-digit growth. And not just for the snacking category, overall FMCG, within FMCG, if you look at food, barring few categories, the snacking still was better off. That's what it was. Last year also, if you look at the first half, which is quarter one, quarter two, were the weak quarters on account of the heavy rains and all those issues which came up. It was post GST relief what we saw. So there is a clear uptick thereafter. That's what is the time wherein, you know, the GST moved from 12% to 5%. That relieved the inflation, what had gone up, you know, these benefits were passed back to the consumer. And we saw the momentum moving up. It is not just for Bikaji, we would say that the overall category growth has also moved up in that stuff. For us, particularly these 45 days were the deterring factor, that also purely from a primary lens. When we look at our secondary, when we look at our inventory with our distributors, they've got depleted. And as you were asking that, you know, if you are shut for a few days and then you start, so the way you cut down on your inventory. Similarly, you building up inventory also takes up time. It is not an overnight factor that you do that stuff. So therefore, this gives us comfort that, and you know, the numbers speak louder than for what I can say. The way June came up, the way July, August were already in, but things are moving up. It's all positive. And mid-teens towards high-teen would be the number we'll be able to deliver.
Got it. And just one question on the PLI. This is, I think, the last year where you will get the PLI of approximately 50 crore, and next year it will not be there. So at the EBITDA level, this 50 crore will be a hit. So will you be able to either partially or fully mitigate it through some measures?
So from PLI lens, currently this year it should be contributing close to 150 basis point in overall EBITDA.
Right.
So what we are targeting, it will take 50 to 75 basis point improvement will take in pricing and gross margin. That's what, but it will take 1.5-2 years to reach again at the original market.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from me. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manoj. Vishwam, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Manoj, just a quick question. The D2C brands are penetrating much faster and they are reporting a very strong growth. In your conversation, can you share what kind of packaged food contribution on the top three platforms and what is our share in that?
Hi, Shirish. So, see, where they play is only on the Qcom platform. That's where it exists, right? If you look at overall contribution of this Qcom to overall category, is low single digits. That's the overall, you know, the TAM where they're playing. Now, here if you look at the top brands would contribute to about 50% of their category business, and the balance 50 is from D2C and on the other small brands, because this is where these Qcom players make their bottom line and the branded stuff gets them the top line kind of a stuff. Now, if you talk about the market share in terms, so this is where, yes, they would have some reasonable, and certain, you know, brands have better traction. And within their product range, also you will see that they will have one or two signature products kind of a stuff which is doing pretty well on that stuff. This is how it is. But in terms of when we speak about these brands, so the bottom line or the sustainability comes up as a real question. It's handful of brands that we could sustain at this environment.
So I was more curious to understand, because even if I look at the quick commerce basket, there are at least 6-7 brands which has crossed almost 100 crore ARR. Now, are they selling on the price point and quantity, or are they selling on the ingredient and safety and healthy? I mean, I'm just trying to understand, more curious, what is it that they are getting right?
So, Shirish, it's a mix of both, right? So one is perception, narrative, that gets you, you know, try. And once you try, you like it, you repeat in that stuff. So this is what, so it's a mix of both, one followed by another.
Okay. Rishabh, we have done some extensive filing on the Nepal project. Can you quickly give me what is the update now, where we think we will go ahead?
So from Nepal lens, we have done JV and written all the paperwork. Now the plant construction is getting ready. So both parties invest close to 15 crore rupees each. And by, I think, in next 8 to 9 months, the plant will get started. And we will get production, local production from Nepal. That's the intention.
So this is on eastern side, or this is close to Gorakhpur?
Nepal is near, in it's between Birganj and Kathmandu.
Okay. My other question is on the upcoming season, and we see that THF is the growth driver which we have found. But I am more curious, when I look at the maps of the erstwhile stores, we are firing between 8 and 9 crore annual run rate for each store. So when you are opening new stores, can you share some more math in, around the economy of scale or maybe some square feet and which are the localities and geographies which you are expanding?
So from THFS, we are largely focusing on tier 2 cities of India as of now. We are not getting tier 1 cities. There are a lot of employees there. Tier 2. So that's the focus, and normally we're targeting 68 crore rupees of sale, and that this is, we cannot say only QSR, these are retail stores, where we majorly focus on getting gifting right, brilliant speed, and that's contributing 65-70% of sales. That's the focus, and from bottom line there is also, every store gives close to 25% plus store level EBITDA. So currently we are very concentrated with team, we are investing into team and multiple things, but overall this business in the next 3-4 years can become just 15-16% of EBITDA driven business with 43% of year-on-year growth. That's the position what we are targeting in this business.
Okay, that's helpful. My last question, I mean, last 2 quarters there is something other, I mean, we had GST rationalization, inventory issues in the trade, and last quarter also we had some disruption. In the context when we see the raw material prices are inching up, can you share, Manoj, some thoughts on the demand, how it is panning out, and are we taking or have we taken any price increases in last 30 days or are we going to take any price increases in next 30 days?
So, Shirish, we have taken 2 price increases in last quarter, last 90 days if we look at, right? So, to offset for what inflation or what price increase we could anticipate or has happened. So talking in terms of demand, pretty good demand. When we speak to be the 2 comm channels, view the modern trade, and I'm talking these 2, more because they are organized retail. And they also build their plans, their Diwali plans and all that stuff. So, very bullish plans. They have that gives us quite a satisfaction and confidence in terms of the business going forward. Similarly, GP, the commitments when we see the demand plan for next 3 months are very much positive. So this is looks to be, you know, the good times ahead now in that. And for next 30 days, we are not planning to take any price increase because now we have all prices, all that stuff signed off with the large accounts as well. So we'll not be doing that stuff. Unless and until something, some catastrophe comes up.
Okay. Just one quick follow-up. Any good reason why our exports has declined?
So, I mean, the only reason I would say is that now the Trump stuff, the policies, the tariffs, what's coming up, a little bit of uncertainty. But that still we were living with for quite a while now. I think the biggest one was the repercussions of this crude oil prices going up. And the availability of these containers and all this stuff, prices have gone 3 times for when they were booked and now in time of waiting. So there is some delays happening. That's the only factor. Looking at demand, there's no issue with that stuff. It's the dispatches deferment.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Mathur from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, we have managed to expand the gross margins in what was a difficult quarter. But we are now saying that we are seeing some inflation in pulses, also in edible oils. But we will not take another price hike till the festive season. So, putting this all together, what does it mean for the near-term margins for the second quarter and also for the full year? What is our margin outlook now?
So, second quarter will be very high on sweets, which is high in gross margin overall. And from numbers also, second quarter will be heavy. So, there will be lot of efficiency, because there is fixed cost which will not increase as top line increase. So, even if gross margin will increase, our EBITDA will improve on that line.
Right, and for the full year, sir?
So, from full year lens, we're targeting close to between 13-13.5% margin. That's the target we're taking.
Sorry, 13-13.5, you said?
Yeah.
Got it. And secondly, sir, just on the bakery segment, I know it's quite a small segment, but what would be the size now in terms of ARR for the bakery segment? And is it entirely comprised of exports, or is there some domestic component now? I think I'm talking about only Bikaji Bakes. That's where our bakery business is.
So currently, so it will get started this season. It is not started full fledged production. Trials are going on the R&D and everything. So, but yeah, this year we're not taking any big number in our business plan. Maybe next, by end of this year, there will be 2 quarters where we'll start production. We'll see, but there'll be 2-3 opportunities. One is export, one is, our own e-com channel where we supply, and one is Horeca. So that's 3 channels where we are targeting. But yeah, overall in next 2 quarters, we'll see how this goes, and next year we'll raise some numbers in overall P&L.
Got it, sir. Thanks, that's it for me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Reminder for all participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Anand Shah from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Just a few questions there. I mean, one clarification is margin guidance you gave 13.5%, which is ex PLI.
This is including PLI.
Including PLI. So this is lower, you are saying. I mean, Q1 is at 13.5%, right? I mean, you said gross margin would remain sort of stable or so, and then your overall leverage is down.
In next 2 quarters, ad will be heavy.
Ads will be heavy.
Yeah, because next 2 quarters, because we are entering to cash duty. So ads will be heavy. So overall, that's target possibility.
Okay. Okay, so that is one. And secondly, this I want to know on, I mean, your international overall expansion. I mean, you invested in Bikaji Foods, US also, and then now with Nepal, and also subsequent Middle East. So, I mean, if you take a 2-3 year picture, what kind of incremental are you looking at, revenue you are looking from these JVs or investments?
So, in Nepal, if you look at even in current state also, we do business here, right? It is only when we do JV, we will produce locally. So, and that would save some monies in terms of, you know, those import duties, and would make us more competitive in that stuff. Will help grow faster. And so, invest to grow, that would be the capability for Nepal market. For US, when we talk about, it's an investment what we have made, and the dividends what we will see is over next few years. And what we believe is that the US business should be about 3 times now in next 2 years kind of our stuff, as we set our things in place there. So huge growth opportunity in export.
Okay, but is there a number right now? I mean, that how much you are doing, and in 3 years, how much this can become? I mean, from
so,
all these.
Yeah. So if you look at currently, it's about 3-4% business contribution, while overall business will also grow. But in 3-4 years time, you will see that this business contribution would be about close to about 5.56% to our overall business.
Okay, okay. In terms of sales.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soham Samantha from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to check, when can we expect these mid-teens kind of growth in core market? Is it from Q2 or maybe in H2? How do you expect?
Sorry, can you please repeat? You're not audible.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yeah.
So basically, I am asking from when we are expecting that mid-teens kind of growth will be back in our core market.
So mid-teens in core, you will see this quarter onwards itself. That's where it will be. But core would be not growing as much, because core growth would be in line with that what rate category is growing there. Because already we have a high market share. So this will be in line. It is only the focus markets where we have a very, you know, we are a small player, and there our growth would be disproportionately high. That's the reason. So this, what we plan in our budget as well, what we look at it is the core market between 13-15% there.
Now, in terms of focus market, like UP is one of our drivers always. In this quarter, what was the growth in UP market?
It was about 37%.
37% growth in EP.
Yeah, close to 37%. Yeah.
And how do you look this market for a full year? 30% plus will continue?
So, in our budget, it is 30% plus is the budget. Now, a little bit of, here and there between quarters would happen, but yes, at an aggregate level, upwards of 30% growth.
Got it. And whatever happened in export, I know it's a one-off. But going forward, can you expect again 25-30% kind of growth momentum will continue in export market?
See, exports would see the US is a very, very big share of business in our export market. With the freight charges, it is 3 times to what it was about 4 months back. Now, till such time this settles down, we will see this no disruption. Now, this may get resolved in a quarter's time. Is good, may take a couple of quarters. That's what we cannot anticipate at that point in time. But yes, in a long term, if you look at, yes, you will see that these kind of growth will come to the US market or the overall export market.
Got it. And last thing from my side, like when we were saying that first half, first 45 days, next 45 days, so if you break up 12.5% kind of growth, out of that, what was the last 45 days growth number?
So if you look at the last 45 days, growth would be around, say, 20% kind of a growth.
Okay. Okay. That's good to hear. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Jangi from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on other operating income of 14 crores. So, how much is from the PRI in this quarter?
Sorry, your voice is not clear.
Now is it clear, sir?
Yeah, please.
Sir, out of 14 crores of other operating income, how much is from the PRI?
2.5 crores. 50 crores have been written into the book in this year. 50 crores. That's a large.
50 crores. Okay.
50. Yeah. Divided into equal in 4 quarters.
Okay. And the second question, sir, may I know our proper segment declined by 6.5%, while in 1Q26 it grew by 6%, and 1Q25 grew by 14%. So what happened this quarter to proper category? That's what I wanted to know.
Papad, as I said, it's most of it is handmade. I'm highly dependent on, the weather condition, monsoons and all that stuff. So those are the factors which impact papad growth. What we see now this time also a little disrupted of the disruption in the monsoons. When it rains, it doesn't get dried, so therefore it becomes a production supply issue kind of a stuff. So we'll try and make up in this quarter. But again, it's not as big a business for us. So therefore, and it is, so it does not impact our overall, the top line and the bottom line. It's a 6% business contribution to our overall.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Mathur from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, so thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Rishabh sir, just coming back to that margin guidance of 13.5% that you spoke about. So we have talked of maybe a 15% plus kind of a growth aspiration. And we have talked of maintaining ad spends at about 2% of sales this year. But we also saying that A&P will be higher in the coming few quarters. Also, I think a while back on the media interview on CNBCR, management has mentioned an aspiration of 15% operating margin. These numbers don't seem to be tying up together, if you can just clarify on these.
No, so 15% margin target is not for this year. It's long-term target that we want to be 15% next 3 years. That's the plan here. This year we're 13.5, and at least 50 ways on improvement every year on year. That's the target we're taking on as well. And the next 2 quarters, of course, this year, this industry has been impacted by multiple factors, but we see ease off in next 2 quarters. And this will help us in overall getting margin back to a normal target.
All right, so maybe I'll take it offline. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks. Over to you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking time out and joining us for this call. It was nice interacting to each of you, and we tried to answer the questions which came up. Shall be happy to take any follow-up questions which comes up, and our team will get back to you with your answers. Thank you very much, and happy season ahead.
On behalf of Bikaji Foods International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.